Blog Talk Radio.
This is Master Griot Radio, channel 13 on your NBVTA Internet Radio dial. I'm Jacqueline Taylor Adams, and I am your host for this moment in time. It's time for purpose-driven words, shaping thoughts, building minds, true wealth, communities, and legacies.
If my words had wings, they'd fly to you each day.
To me,
and I try my pen in the morning. I know it can work because I follow such a great lead. But you have no faith in me. So sometimes I feel like I can.
Master Griot Radio, and this is Master Griot NBBTA Radio, and the NBBTA is for the National Black Business Trade Association. We're NBBTA Radio Live. We're on the other side, and we are here today with our special show, When Bring Talk Hits the Sun in Her Eyes. We have special guests here with us today. We have teen author Camry Moore, 15-year-old teen author Camry Moore, sharing the mic with 9-year-old co-author Tomira Gauthier. And we're doing some serious talk about girl power. We got girl power going on here today. Young entrepreneurs, authors. So whatever you think you can't do, I'm here to prove that wrong. And also, before we get the show started, I'm just going to ask everyone out there in the audience for your prayers. Unfortunately, last night I got a call yesterday that my just-turned 19-year-old grandson was shot 6 times on the streets of Philadelphia. So right now he's been through 1 surgery, and he's in the hospital, basically on life support, but he is, you know, self-supporting, and he has at least one more. He got a series of surgeries he's going to need to go through. So he's doing all right for the moment. We just need you to keep him in the prayers, and then he makes it through his 2nd surgery. So we show you, like, these are just the vast dynamics of what's going on in our youth, in the communities, you know. He's in Philadelphia. We have Camry, she's out of Florida. And we'll find out where Tomira is. They're in a different area. But this is giving you a true picture today of what's going on in youth in our society. And I think some of the best people who can help us save our youth is our youth. I think it's time that we stop telling them and maybe start listening to them and engaging them in the process. And so that's my call to the whole audience today, is to listen. Let us listen and let us intake their input. For all you who work with youth, all of us interact with them on some level. You know, let's take a chance and listen to them, because they can best tell us how to help them. So I am going to welcome on the line, we have Camry and Tomira. Hello, ladies.
Hi.
Hello, Camry.
Hi, Miss Adams.
Hello. How are you
I'm fine,
this morning?
How are you?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm here. I'm blessed. So, thank you first for getting up on a Saturday morning. You know, I know it's 11 o'clock your time. And Tamir, what time is it for you? Tamir? All right. Can you ladies hear me all right?
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you perfect.
Okay. Well, Tamir, we have a little hard time hearing you, but while you're coming on, and I'm going to bring on what I'm going to start with, we're going to start with Camry.
Okay.
So, Camry Moore, the world wants to know, who is Camry Moore?
I am a 16-year-old girl, Christian girl from Tampa, Florida. I love writing and reading and taking photographs. I've always been, you know, kind of the quiet, odd one out of my family and friends. But I love to be around people and, you know, I just myself.
Okay. And Tamira? Tamira, can you hear me?
Hi.
Hello, how are you?
Great, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. So, Tamira Gauthier, the world would like to know, who is Tamira Gauthier?
I am 8. I like playing with my sister, and I like doing gymnastics.
Okay, all righty, that's great. Okay, so now I am going to. Y'all got to give me a second. I just realized I forgot to print out my questions. I sent them to everybody else, and I forgot them myself. Now, so the next thing we want to know, Camry and Tamira, and we're going to start with Camry, then we're going to come to you, Tamira. You know, what's your claim to fame? You know, how have you hit the public eye?
Claim to fame would definitely be the book that I published at 15 years old. Called The Sun in Her Eyes.
Okay. And Tamira, what's made you so famous? Why do I see your name on the internet?
I wrote a book.
Oh, you did. So when was the name of your book?
Let's Talk About Brains.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. We're going to get into that because I don't think that's a real. Both of your titles are very interesting. I really, really like both of your titles. So I'm going to go to you, Camry. And when I was reading your brief bio that's with your book, it says that you began writing at the age of 9, which is around near the age that Tamira is right now. Now, did you always feel you had stories inside of you and you just began writing at 9, or did it just all hit at one time? Like when you hit 9, you know, you just started getting, you know, you just started hearing these stories and you started writing them down. What happened? How did it come about?
I think that I definitely always have the stories inside of me. I consider it to be a God-given gift. I don't think that it's something that I could have learned.
Okay, all right. And now in the book, The Sun in Her Eyes, that's a very creative title, which, you know, already gives me an insight. Because many times writers your age, and even a lot of older writers, the titles are very much more literal. But The Sun in Her Eyes is a creative title. And so what came first, the title or the story? Did the story invoke the title, or did the title invoke the story?
The story came first, definitely. It's kind of hard to name things before you write it incomplete because something big could happen that could totally throw off the title that you already have. So, a good thing to or name it after you're done.
Okay. So now, so tell us about the book, The Sun in Her Eyes. You know, what's the book about, and, you know, where did the story come? Did something special inspire you to write it? You know, was it, you know, based off of anything true or totally fiction? You know, let us know. Tell us about The Sun in Her Eyes by teen author Cameron Moore.
It's totally fiction. I couldn't come up with, it's not from a true experience or anything. It's about a girl who is just, like, suddenly dumped by her boyfriend of a long time now, and he just ruins her life, basically, and she kind of loses her way, and things that she loved and believed in and everything, and they don't mean anything to her anymore. And then she meets another guy who's been through something terrible, and he kind of shows her how to be happy and smile and just live freely despite the things that she's been through and the things that the guy put her through before.
Okay. And so, The Sun in Her Eyes, what does the title, you know, what is that referencing?
I don't want to tell anyone that. That's something that you have to figure out when you read the book, basically. It's
okay,
kind of
all right, great. Oh, okay. All righty. Hey, that's a good thing. Go ahead. She got intrigue in there all, too. Okay, Mickey, you have to go see the book. Now, for people to experience the book, where do they go? How do they get the book?
Right now, we're just selling it on our own. You can email us, and we will you email us your address, and then we'll send the book to you after you send money or a check or whatever to us. We're trying to get it on Amazon, but that hasn't really happened yet. We're working on it, though. But for now, it's just PayPal or sending us the check or something, and then we'll send the book back to you.
Okay. And Mr. Arlie Gordon is in the chat room, and he says good morning to everyone. And Arlie Gordon is, he is the founding director of the National Black Teen Empowerment Expo, and Youth Pages is outsourced from the NBTEE, and he's also owner of Unity Designs Positive Clothing for children and adults. So we want to say good morning to you in the chat room. So now let me know, they can get the book on your website, right? Camry?
Yes. Yes, they can get the book on our website also. Sorry, I forgot to mention that.
Okay, so give me the website. I'm going to type it in the chat room. What's the website?
The website is tooyoungforlove.com. You can
okay, is it
spell
the,
it either way.
The number two or T-O-W?
You can get two, the number two.
The
right?
Number two or the word?
The number two.
Two.
Young love. Yeah, the number four and then L-U-V.
L-U-V. Okay, tooyoungforlove.com. That's the number two, Y-O-U-N-G, the number four, L-U-V.com. And we'll put it in the chat room so you can go there. And when you go there, you'll be able to click onto the book. So my next question, and we're going to take a break before we go to here. We're going to do another song, a spoken word piece. And before here, we're going to do another spoken word piece. This piece is called Tell Her She's a Queen by Jess Gregg. And then I want to ask you when we come back about your title, Camry. The title. Yeah, Too Young for Love. That's interesting, you know. Again, you know, you have some wonderful titles, so I want to talk about that title when we come back. And then when we first come back, I'm going to pick up the caller from the 443. I'm going to see if the caller wants to say hello. So right now we're going to go to Tell Her She's a Queen by Jess Gregg. Pick up the caller from the 443, and we're coming back to Ask Camry what does she mean by too young for love?
She look unbelievable, downright unforgettable, just incredible. Asked her what's going on inside of her soul. Asked her what she want to be when she grew up. She told me Beyonce, because she seemed to get the cash that way. By shaking her stash that way, the faster way. She just had a baby 2 months ago, and she wishes it could be so simple. Stretch marks of depression, mark of self-esteem. Once a beauty queen, relying on Maybelline. A well-oiled machine, she wears tight jeans. And some see-through shirts to boost her self-esteem. Gain attention from wandering eyes. Using her thighs to gain acceptance. Using her thighs to gain acceptance. Using her thick, beautiful black thighs to gain acceptance. Like it's cool to be addicted to erections. And not to mention she's no longer using protection. She is a falling star in a universe of low expectations. Wanting to be dead before the age of 18. Hoping death is the answer to all things and all the frustrations. She is an award miseducation. 200 years of Willie Lynch. A single parent home. A psychiatrist that prescribes Ritalin because the mother had a drug addiction. 200 years of self-hatred, throwing on weaves and makeup. She looked 40 in the face, the breasts, the waist. But she really 15, rocking contacts that's green. A see-through shirt and some tight jeans. Literally wearing a self-esteem on her sleeves. And she can't wait for Christmas Eve. So she can receive the fine things in life like a new trend in fashion. She ain't gotta open her mouth, her physical do the brag. And you know the way she walk and the way she talk and the way she get hawked by those guys who double park just to pump up her ego while she walking in passion. Pink.
Come here.
Cause she look 5'11 in heels, but she really 5'7 for real. Selling nickel bags of weed for uncle to pay for that cell phone bill. And the body like 30, but the mind is like 9. Soul is dirty, so becoming spiritual is darn near impossible. While the mother is in front of a corner store, acting like a well-known whore. Father's inside of a jail cell, rearranging his religious beliefs. Trying to find Jesus in between the lines of the Quran. Searching for a reason, searching for a meaning, cause only God can stop the bleeding. So what do you tell the future when they do not know they passed? When they worship white presidents on cold hard cash? I mean, would they really worship Malcolm X if he was on a $5 bill? Or would Martin Luther King control the oil spill?
I have a dream. I have a dream.
So what do you tell the future? Tell that she is love. She is persistence, perseverance, determination, desire, strength, respect. Cradle of the civilization that held all of us together. Birthed by mothers that mothers like Queen Nzinga, Harriet Tubman, Mary McLeod Bethune, Betsy Shabazz. Birthed in nations of a Marcus Garvey, of a Malcolm X, of a Martin Luther King, of a Fred Hampton. She is not Little Kim. She is not Foxy Brown. She is not Trina. But most importantly, tell her that she is a queen that is now free. 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 Free.
Okay, our caller from the 443 may not have wanted to speak. They're not there anymore. But we just got finished listening to Tell Her She's a Queen by Just Reg, who you have seen on Brave New Voices as the coach of the Philly Youth Poetry Movement. So, Camry, we want to know about this title, Too Young for Love.
Too Young for Love, it basically means that if you don't love yourself, you're too young to love anyone else. That's basically what it means.
Good. Well, that's a strong statement. So that's the name of your website or your blog. So, what's that about?
The purpose of the blog is not just to talk about love, although we do talk about relationships and things that girls do in relationships they shouldn't do and things that boys do in relationships that they shouldn't do. But we also talk about just things that teenagers go through, depression, weight gain, weight loss, positive teen influences, negative teen influences. It's just based around teen life.
Oh, okay. So, maybe that's really good. So now, what are your what's your goal? I mean, do you have a special goal in life, a purpose?
My goal is to keep writing and hopefully inspire people to do what it is they love to do, without fear, you know, because fear is the number one dream killer. And I also want to get into a great college and become a cardiologist.
Oh, all righty. So we want to inspire people to do what they want to do, just in case y'all didn't get this. I take notes a lot of time. And I'm going to publish these notes. Inspire people to do what they want to do without fear. All righty. Because this fear is a definite dream killer.
Right.
I mean, listen to this wisdom and knowledge, you guys. Okay. And be a cardiologist. That's great. What makes you want to be a cardiologist? What is about that field in of medicine that intrigues you?
I don't really know. I've just always liked the idea of performing surgery on someone's heart and giving them life again. And, yeah, I've just always been intrigued by that.
Okay. Do you know about famous black surgeons, heart surgeons?
I don't. Probably should.
You don't? Okay. Well, that's our first look up, or maybe if we have a caller or somebody that can call in and share with Camry about, I don't know if Hugh Gady is listening in, but if you get a chance, what you need to do, you go to blackintime.info. It is a black history blog. Every day something is posted there in black history, and a great resource for young people or anybody in college. So, it's blackintime.info, but go there and research heart surgeon, or if Hugh Gady is listening, or any of our anybody want to call in and tell us who's a famous black heart surgeon, we would love for the input. Okay, so that's one assignment we have for today. So now. I want to come back, and I want you to give us your contact info and everything. We're going to come back to you and get that, because I'm going to come back to you, Camry. But right now, I want to take a moment and move on over to Tomira. So
hi.
You still, how you doing, Tomira? Hi, honey. So how'd you like learning about Camry? You think she's interesting?
Awesome.
Awesome. Oh, wow.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, wow. So now I'm going to ask you some of the same questions. So we're going to go into this book. Let's talk about brains. Like, what made you decide to want to write a book like that and get your mom to help you write a book? What made you decide to do that?
Have a friend. Or not
having fun.
Trouble.
Oh, having friends in trouble?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, explain to us what do you mean about let's talk about brains? How do you talk about brains in your book?
My book is to help kids do good in school.
Mm-hmm.
When you get on green, you have a good day and no bad behavior.
Okay, so how does getting on green, how does your brain help you get on green?
By listening to people.
Okay. And how do you get your brain to help you listen to people and to the teacher?
Focus.
Okay, by focusing? All righty. So how do you help yourself get on green?
By paying attention to the teacher and don't look at anything else.
Okay, now listen. Look. What if your friends start talking to you while you're in class? They talking to you while the teacher talking. What you do?
Try to ignore them.
Okay. All right. So what you wanted to do, you wanted to help other children do what you was able to do so they could do good in school?
Yes.
Okay. So what's the special teacher name that taught y'all how to get on green?
Pray.
Okay, Pray. And what was the teacher's name? Was it a special teacher that taught you, or was it just something that you did in school, go on green? Was that something you learned through the whole school, or was it in one special class?
God.
I want to step in for a second.
Okay,
mom.
Then. Go ahead.
At
this is Joel Gossier.
This is Joel Gossier.
She's co-author.
Co-author with Tamira. At school, most of the schools in our state of Virginia use some type of red light, yellow light, green light system for discipline.
Okay.
So there's like a traffic light to warn the behavior. So if you're on green, everything's fine. If you get on yellow, it's a caution warning light that you're breaking the boundaries of the rules that were set up in the classroom. And if you get on red, you've broken the rule, you've violated the rule. And often, I believe you go to the principal's office, or most importantly, red goes home to your parents, and they see that you ended your day on red. And what Tamira is explaining is that we prayed to God to figure out how to keep her on green, because there was a period of time in, I think it was first grade, that her teacher wrote a note that she was bordering on. She hadn't gotten her yellow yet, but she was getting pretty close to it. And she had done very good up to that point. Daddy and I were buying her little trophies each month to commemorate her getting 100% green, you know, for the whole school month. And when this started happening, she and I just got down on our knees and prayed, what do we need to do or say to get her back on, you know, green where it's an automatic? Because I felt uncomfortable rewarding her with a trophy, but I went along with my hubby. Because I felt that we need to get her where she does it because she wants it, not because we're giving her some kind of external reward in place. You know, I wanted her to do it because she felt good about it.
Yeah.
So we prayed, and that's what she uses a lot of times. It's just prayer. How do I focus and listen to you and not what's going on around me?
Okay. All righty.
So I'll step back out of the interview.
Great. Yeah, that's great. Oh, gosh. That's pretty smart, Tamira. That is pretty smart. That's some more good advice. Okay, so we use prayer to get focused. We use prayer when we in school or on our job or working. And the mind starts wandering. We use prayer, you know, to get us focused. And I think that's very good. Sometimes I don't think people use prayer for certain things. I don't think they think of it like that, that you can, prayer can just get you focused, calm you down, and bring your mind back in. So have you been successful staying on green, Tamira?
Yes.
All righty, that's great. So what are some special, what about your website? We All Start Small.
WeAllStartSmall.com is where you learn fun new things about famous people and things to know about being the best.
Okay. And I saw a pink book bag there with a princess on it, all kind of nice things. So what are some things, other things you're going to put up there? I know you helped them build it, so what's some things you want to suggest to put up there?
A book.
Okay. And, you know, Carrie says she likes to take pictures. You can tell us about your photography, Camry. You think maybe you could donate some, send some pictures that Tamira can put on her website for We All Start Small?
Of course. Or whatever she wants to take pictures of, I'll take them for her and I'll give them to her.
Oh, you hear that, Tamira?
Yes.
Isn't that, see? You know, you made a friend. Somebody take some pictures and you can put some pictures on there. on your website. You just have all kind of good things. So I like that name, as we all start small. And no matter how small you start, you can become super big. Because, we, you know, we all start small, we're still all big. So who do you want to come by that we all start small? Do you want all the young people to come by? Who do you want to tell the people to come by and visit you at We All Start Small? Who should come by there?
Everybody.
Everybody? Okay. And do you want kids like your age to come by there too?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Okay, that's good. That's good. So I know you're only 8, but do you have any idea what you want to be when you grow up, or when you get a teenager, or something you want to do special in the next couple of years?
Yes, I want to be the best gymnast in the world, but still reaching what's out there.
Okay, so can you tell me that again? You want to be the best what in the world?
Gymnast in the world.
Oh, the best business. Okay, you're a businesswoman. All right.
Gymnastics.
I'm sorry, you said the best what?
Gymnastics.
And gymnastics. That's how you like gymnastics. Gymnast. Oh, wow. Okay, that is great. So, all right. So you want to be the best gymnast in the world. So we're looking at an Olympic champion, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You going to want to go to the Olympics?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. The best gymnast in the world. I'm telling you, we got a cardiologist and the best gymnast in the world. I'm telling you. Y'all all met them here with me, okay? So when they come big and famous, and don't forget Miss Jackie. Oh, wow. So we're gonna take a break, okay? And we're going to come back. And I'm going to ask both of you some questions when we come back. The next set of questions we want to deal with, we want to see how you feel about young people. Since you're a young person and you're around young people more than adults, we want to get your viewpoint about what do you feel about young people, and then how, what's the best ways adults can, you know, engage young people. Because, you know, young people, what do adults do that just, like, really get on your nerves? Like, you know, you're saying, you shouldn't say nothing like that. Why would you say, or, you know, when they do things like that, what kind of advice would you give to adults? So we're going to talk about that when we come back. And this next song, we're going to play two songs on this break. One, we're going to play Freedom. And this song is by various different artists. It was a theme to the movie Panther. And it has a movie about the Black Panthers. And this has Aaliyah in it, Queen Latifah, MC Light, TLC. Beyonce. Everybody's in this song. All the Black female singers, they're in this song, and they're going to sing Freedom. So we're going to do a Freedom anthem to girls. And we're going to listen to that, and then we're going to follow it up by Choice, which is by Rhapsody, and it features Quiet Rage. And it's from her album, Spoke Inward. So we're going to do a two-set break, and, you know, I'll mute you out, ladies. So if you want to take a break while the music is playing, and then we're going to come back and get talk about the state of young people. All right? Here we go, Freedom.
We will not bow down to racism. We will not bow down to injustice. We will not bow down to exploitation. I'm going to
Yo, Grant us love filled with good intention. May we find peace in the midst of ascension. We know what they make us, though they try to break us. And speaking love, I'm giving love. They told you to conquer much, take all, it's not too much. Claim your women, ask for less, and take their bottom, keep on tipping. Claim that dope, keep it pushing through the veins of hopeless people. Complain about life you're living instead of pain with the cancer of giving. Not taking care of your children, cause you and baby's mom is beefing. Continue this crazy cycle, creating more generations of strife. Brother killing brother, hug the block but not one another. Brag about the nation like you live, but steady bathing and rescue.
According to Camry Moore and Tomira Gossier. So, what I want to ask you, ladies, and I'm going to start off with you, Camry. What do you feel is the greatness, uniqueness, and flavor of today's youth and teens? What do you feel is special about you guys?
I think teenagers today are a lot more adamant and confident in doing what they want to do with their life. And even though the media sometimes, you know, talks about us being these terrible children and we have no goals or anything, I believe in us, and I think we're going to do great things and we're going to be successful with everything that we do.
Okay. And Tamira, what would you say is what would you say is special about young people? What do you think is special about children your age?
We were born unique in history. We have Black President Barack Obama. We have ancestors in the White House, Sasha and Malia. We can do anything.
Oh, wow. That's great. Mm-hmm. You're born at a unique place in history. That's true. Enough for it. And see, I didn't think about the girls. Alrighty. Yeah, okay. I learned a lot. Just listening to you. Okay, so my next question, and I'm going to start with you, Tamira. What do you feel is one area considered weakness, or one area maybe where young people could do better?
Many do not know how to read. People in
not knowing how to. Go ahead.
People in Haiti do not have much food.
Okay. Alrighty. People in Haiti don't have much food and not knowing how to read. Alrighty. And what do you feel, Camry?
The same thing she said about a lot of kids not knowing how to read and stuff. I think that's definitely one of the weaknesses. And I also think that fear, like I said, is another thing, because a lot of teenagers and kids are afraid that if they do a certain thing that's different from what the other teenagers are doing, that they'll get talked about, and they're afraid of what people think of them if they step out and do something different.
Okay, great, yeah. Now, for both of you, I want to give you this, if you want to take some notes. The other week, our guest was... We had a 21-year-old author and a 20-something-year-old, another young woman, that has an organization called Black Positive Image, and the author was Marquise T. Watson. His book was called Break the Cycle. And his book and The Sun in Her Eyes, y'all would make like a great book storyline. They're both fiction books, but they both have a, you know, moral base. And they're books of fiction, but they're not just out there to be how crazy can our fiction be. They both have, you know, a moral lesson that they teach. And but what I want you and Tamira, is to go to blackpositiveimage.com, and she has a reading program that helps get libraries into make sure that children have libraries in their homes.
Wow.
So maybe if y'all can help out with that, that's something, since you both feel reading is important, that may be something you can help. Her name is Brittany A. Green. Now, Brittany had an appointment this morning, but she promised that she would listen to the show when she got back in today. So if y'all go to her website, that's blackpositiveimage.com. And when you click on the links, there's a reading program. It's called Library Campaign. I forget the exact name of it, but you'll be able to see it when you go there. And maybe y'all can help make sure that young people have a library in their home, because that's one thing. A lot of people don't have libraries, don't have an area of books. And I know, even like with my grandchildren and a lot of on one side of the family, they go down there, they don't have like a library area where there are just books at in the home. And so, that can make a difference. And I always grew up, my mom had like shelves of books. I since a baby, I just grew up seeing books, you know. And that was my goal, was go read her books. And I would read them. Then I wound up with my own library. And now my oldest grandson, who I raised, I wanted to, first, my neighbors, they needed some stories.
Yeah.
This is one thing I'm adamant about, too. There is a beautiful, wonderful collection of Black books for children and teens. but they don't have them in your libraries in school. Most of the books aren't there, and very few of them are part of the reading programs, the reading book fairs. But if you actually go to a black bookstore, you will see like a whole array of black youth books for children and youth that you never knew existed. So I used to sell books. So I have a whole array of them. My grandson got signed books and all. And I was letting some of my young neighbors read them. And I didn't know he kept those books. He turned around and showed me he had a whole bookshelf full of books. I'm like, oh, my. So that's just a difference that makes something you wouldn't even know. I'm trying to figure out, where am I going to find these books at? You know, where could they be? He had them all in the whole bookshelf, like three or four rows of books. I was like, oh, wow, I didn't know you did this. And so reading is very important. I know people, and no matter what, you want to finish school, but I do know people who didn't even finish the ninth grade. Or who would, in our public schools, unfortunately here in Philadelphia, the quality of education is so bad, even if they pass on whether they literally pass or not. They may get failing grades, but they say the classes are too full, so they still push them on. So what happens, you have people graduating high school who can't read because they really don't care if they can do it, the work. But I know young people who may not have technically had the grades to actually pass, but because they were avid readers, they were able to get their GEDs later on because they gained so much knowledge because they were always ahead of their grade level in reading and they read all the time. So that really makes a difference about reading. And just to let anybody out there know, young people struggling or you want to help somebody read, one way I deal with my grandson and grandkids, for all kind of things we did to teach. But one was the signs. My nephew had a little problem getting started. He loved hot dogs and soda from this corner store. So whenever we went by, if he wanted it, he had to read what it was. But they had the picture and the words there. I mean, there are words everywhere. You don't have to wait till you get to a book. It could be the street sign, you know, trying to figure out where you are. Just reading a sign, and then they're like, here in Philadelphia, we got addresses, like the hundreds, directions, teach you north, south. Everything's a learning opportunity. My grandson knew cars so well at an early age, and I didn't drive, so we would walk a lot. So I started taking them because he would say, Miss Joan has a car that looks like Miss Joan got a car just like that. Or Mr. So and so. Every time he had the make and model right. Every time. The make and the model on the nose. And if it was a different color, he'll tell you, Miss Joan has a car like that, but her car is this color. He could do that at two and three years old. Wow. So then it would start, when we would walk, I just started taking him behind cars. And we see a car, then we would look. I would show him the make, the model, so that he wouldn't just have to say Miss Joan has a car like that. He could say Miss Joan has a Ford this, or Miss Joan has a BMW, XL class, you know, whatever it is. He could say exactly what it was. And he knows cars so well to today. Unfortunately, I don't know if this mythology works on adults because I couldn't tell you a make and a model if my life depended on it. I don't know why it didn't penetrate my brain, but it worked for children. So I want to ask you guys now, and I'm going to start with you, Cameron, then I'm going to come to you, Tamira. How do you best feel adults should engage young people? Like, one, you know, adults always, you know, they want young people to listen to them. And what do you think adults should do so that adults and young people have a better relationship? So first, for young people to listen to adults, what advice would you give to adults? How should they behave or not behave? What are some of the do's and what are some of the don'ts that you think you would tell an adult if they want a young person to listen to them?
I think that, like you said earlier, that they should listen to us too, like you were saying earlier. And I also think that to engage with them, they should, you know, help them discover the dream. And once you help them discover it, help them go after it and support them so that they can be the best that they can be. And that'll definitely gain you some respect from your teenager if you just be there for them and support them.
Okay. All righty, that sounds good. And Tamira, what do you think? If adults want a young person like your age, if they want you to listen, and your friends and stuff, how would you tell an adult? What's the best way that they should, you know, speak to young people, or what should they do if they want you to listen?
Adults can teach us schoolwork.
Okay. Teach us schoolwork. All righty. Alrighty, so do some tutoring. Help, right? Yeah. If you help them, you may listen more. Okay.
Right.
Now, Tamira, what do you think of some things that adults can do so that adults and young people have a good relationship? You know, so that the young person say, I can't stand them, or, you know. They always tell me what to do, or, like, you know, so that the adults and young people can have a good relationship together, that they both happy to be with one another. What do you think, Ken? What do you think adults should do to have a good relationship with kids?
I'm not sure.
Hmm?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure? Yeah. Oh, okay. All righty, no problem. So what do you think, Henry?
like I'm saying, you know, talk to each other, listen to each other, and, just, you know, be there for one another. That's all I can think of. That's what my mom does.
Okay. All righty. That's good. I think that's very important, what you bring up. I do realize that in one area. And I know sometimes as adults, you know, when it gets to certain areas, especially when you get, you know, teens, preteens, and you get into certain areas that you really don't, you're afraid to share and just kind of shy to go there with your young person. But I think it's important that even with some adult things or other themes, that if the adult was be with the young person while they're experiencing, say, watching, if it's a play or movie or something, and there are different, you know, topics to deal with, like sexuality or, you know, just different type of topics. Mm-hmm. If they go there with them, and that way, if the young person has a question, the adult has an opportunity to give their side so that the young person's not just learning about it in the street in their friend's opinion. They can also hear, you know, the adult's opinion. And you can have a discussion like you do with anyone else. People give their different sides and viewpoints, but you help one teach a young person how to make decisions, how to evaluate information. But it's good to, you know, to be there because I'm marketing director for a theater company, and a lot of times, a lot of our plays, because the topics are so heavy, a lot of plays we do that aren't recommended for young people under 13 or 14. Mm-hmm. And if they come younger, we recommend that they come with an adult. So that way, right, if they have questions, it's somebody there that they trust who can answer it, you know, and you can give your viewpoint. And then they don't have to learn about, it's things like suicide, drugs, it's all type of things. But it helps, some ways that's the way you could do it, just by going, seeing something, and the story's interesting enough, so it's going to create dialogue. And in this way, you can get, you know, your opinion, you know, your thought processes, and then they see, you know, the way it works out in the play and all, that's another, you know, thought process or situation, and it gives a chance to really evaluate. So, yeah, let's take time and, you know, not just talk, but sometimes just actually interact with our young people.
Right.
So we stopped streaming live, but the show is still going on. And we still have our caller from the 443. I don't know if they want to come on, so I'm not going to bring you on unless you press 1. If you want to talk, just press 1 and I'll bring you on. And but what I do want you to do is first let us each know how people, if they want to get in touch with you, want to learn more, buy your books, what do you want them to do? And I'm going to start with you, Tamira. If people want to buy your books and learn more about what you're doing and all, and about all the special things that you're doing with HBCU Kids, where would you tell them to do? What website would you tell them to go to, Tamira?
WeAllStartSmall.com.
Okay. So can you spell it out for everybody?
www.weallstartsmall.com.
Okay. This one is WEALL start, start, small, SMALL.com. Sometimes I just like to spell it out for people just in case.
Right.
They can't envision it. It just helps them envision it. Alrighty. So, and we have, so that's for Tamira Gossier, who is co-author of the book, Let's Talk About Brains. And you can find that book on weallstartsmall.com. And weallstartsmall.com is also a place where it's just, you know, from her viewpoint, she's just sharing just different things where young people can come by and learn things, discover things, a place where it's okay to put a pink book bag and a princess and all of that. So it's just a place for young people. And but they can, you know, you come there and learn all kind of information. So we start small, but you come there and you grow. So that's weallstartsmall.com. And before we move on, I want to go to you, Joan, so that people can understand We All Start Small as part of HBCU Kids, and they can see, mm-hmm. you know, where that starts at in the overall, and how, you know, Tamira, you know, at 8 years old is a co-author.
Gotcha. Well, weallstartsmall.com came from, after a couple of years from HBCU Kids, my husband and I launched it a couple of years ago. We wanted to get some T-shirts for our daughters. They were 2 years old and 3 years old at the time. And the vendor said, lady, maybe you haven't noticed, babies don't carry wallets. That's why I don't carry things for kids. I only carry things for adults. And we had gotten hit by a hurricane, so we were sitting in the dark for a couple of weeks. When you sit in the dark for a couple of weeks and there's no media noise, no TV, no radio, no telephone, your brain has a chance to kind of air out, and you really start to think about things.
Mm-hmm.
The hurricane was in South Florida, Tamir wants me to tell you. It was in Pompano Beach where we were living, which is why we're now in Virginia. But anyway,
okay.
After, you know, pondering that question, I said, well, you know, if why does our children have to carry wallets? You know, if Walt Disney felt like that, there'd be no Disney World. If Nickelodeon felt like that, there'd be no Dora. You know, why do black children have to carry wallets for them to be important? And so, you know, long story, we wound up launching HBCU Kids Incorporated, and our mission and vision was really to get the word out that our African-American children are just as valuable as any other child. And for people who say, well, it doesn't matter what skin color they are, then, you know, I say ask your children, why is it that they don't see positive images of themselves at their young formative age? 90% of the human brain is developed at age 6, experts say. So, Jackie, that might be why it worked for your grandson. It didn't work for you with the cars, because their brains are so much like a sponge before they even reach age 6. They're taking so much in. And so we started this journey, and finally after I got almost exhausted from just debating with people who really felt like there was no need to worry about African-American children, that they would kind of fend for themselves, they'll be all right, I just stopped and said, you know what, let me test that out with my own children, because we started this for them when they were 2 and 3, And now they're, you know, 5 and 4, or I think they were 5 and 6. And, you know, let me see, what's on their mind? And they really surprised me because they actually did have an interest in learning new things. And one of the questions my daughter asked me, Mommy, do you not care about white babies, white children? How come you always passing out cards to black families with black babies? Why don't you pass out cards to white babies with white families? You know, I thought you liked white children. How come you only do it for the black children and not the white children? And it made me really sit and think. And we were sitting in the subway, like, and I remember like it was yesterday, and I said, you know what? I have to explain to her what is going on, because I don't want her thinking, oh, my gosh, my mom doesn't like white children. And then when she sees me with her classmates, because she's like one of two in her class, I don't want her to think my mom's a hypocrite. She says one thing and does something else. So I drew out on a piece of paper, and I said, you know, let me share a little story with you. I said, remember we talked about slavery and all of that, and I said, if you look at 1865, only one of these little, and I drew 10 stick figures, only one of these people could read or write. It was illegal for the rest of them to read or write. And she asked me, well, then how did that one learn how to read or write? And I said, good question. They might have learned from the master. They might have learned from their parents who snuck and learned how. Or they might have been smart enough to just look at words and figure it out for themselves. And she says, wow, that probably was hard. I said, yes, it was hard because it was illegal. They could go to jail, be killed, sold, whatever, just for being able to read and write. I said, so now in 2000, whatever year it was, Mommy is trying to play catch-up. I said, you know when you run a race, because she likes to run, if somebody else has started out running ahead of you, when will you catch up with them if you're still at the starting block? And I said, so what Mommy's trying to do, Mommy and Daddy are simply trying to help these great-great-grandbabies of these little stick figures who were not able to read and write, who could not get an education, play catch-up. We're not trying to do anything to the little white children because they weren't stopped. They weren't. It wasn't illegal for them to read or write. But we are playing massive catch-up to get these other babies up and running. I said, does that make sense? And she says, okay, I get it. So then that's how we all start small, kind of evolved and grew, so that any child, black, white, whatever, we don't care who comes to the site, but we want them to understand that there are people who lived and died way before us who paved the way for us to do great things. Remove the barrier of excuses. Just because the media doesn't show it doesn't mean it's not there.
Yeah. Okay. And now HBCU Kids, that's also a clothing line where you can purchase HBCU paraphernalia for your babies and all.
Yes. T-shirts, blankets, bibs. We target 0 to 6 years old. But as our daughters are getting older, we're getting more requests for bigger sizes. But I never want to lose the focus of that newborn child. My ideal target person is an expectant mother, and she has a baby shower coming up. And that's who we're really trying to reach. We're trying to reach these babies before they get here to be prepared to be successful. So it's not just a happenstance, fluke, luck of genius, chance of a meeting with a guidance counselor, that these children know from the day they were born they were loved, they are special, they have a gift, and there's an HBCU that matches them. There's 105 HBCUs out there.
Well, I got about 5 children and 5, 4 from you.
Amen.
I had another grandson that was just born like maybe a month ago or less.
Congratulations.
Yeah, he's out on the West Coast. And then my grandson, who was just shot, his sister, she was at the hospital when he came in because she's getting rehab of him.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
The same hospital.
She's due any minute now. The contraction started yesterday, so any minute now, there'll be another one coming in. And then,
it's just amazing that you were able to carve and keep this day for Arthur Camry and for Tamira. I mean, Jacqueline Taylor Adams, this says so much about your commitment and dedication to the community and to the cause. I mean, anyone else could have easily said, I've got family things that I've got to do, and I really,
right.
have to reschedule this. And, I mean, it speaks volume. Action speaks so much louder than any word.
Well, you know, I didn't know. I was hoping I wouldn't have to, but I went to the hospital. I was there this morning. There are people there to, you know, got to talk to the doctors. And, you know, I knew his date. They have the number to call. So I came back here to do this, and then when I leave here, I will be, you know, at the hospital. But his father's
right.
there, his other grandmother, she was taking a break. His sister and them have been there all night, brothers. So there's a, you know, constant flow of people. So, and I was able to get in touch, you know, had to reach some family members. So I was able to do that.
But it just says a lot, and I think for Tamara, you know, and I'm sure for Cammy, but for Tamara, this is her first time. And, you know, she admitted, wow, this is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. She said over the time.
She
like,
did a great job for 8 years old.
She did a great
job.
She said
really hard questions. And she was like, you know, it looks easier when it's on paper than when you're actually hearing it and having to respond. And
right.
But just and then when she found out about your grandson, you know, she was just kind of overwhelmed. I could just see in her face, like, you know, wow. I mean, this is really important. I guess
she
underestimated how important this radio opportunity really was until she sat there and heard your voice on the other end.
Well, it just, you know, really, it's for us. It was just an opportunity. I just wanted to do these shows. These are two special shows that I did, but because you all are on Youth Pages, and Youth Pages said they want to attract young people, and here I'm running across these young people, but I'm not seeing a response from the community to the young people. And it could be because, you know, the way, you know, you post something and by the time somebody else gets to it, it's 50 posts above it, so people may not get a chance to see it. You know, it's just different things. So I wanted to see if I could bring a platform where it's not just typed in on the internet, but they hear you. They hear, you know, hear their voices, because I just don't think we can't help young people without engaging them in the process. I mean, and we learned that's business 101. When you start your nonprofits, the constituents that you serve, you're required to have a representation of that constituency on your board. So how do we feel we can do youth programming, help our youth and be successful and not engage them in the process and not listen to their voice? We're just supposed to be a support mechanism. You know, we're supposed to be raising them to be the leaders. So we can't do everything for them, because at the time, they're going to be the ones here and we won't. So you have to teach them. So you have to give them you got to allow them to be out there, and then you be that support and that arm. And I do know it's vital. Yeah, and it's just vital now that we learn how to have a relationship with one another. You know, and it's hard not to, but the truth of the matter, if you go by the corner, you see some young black guys, or you walk in, almost everybody going to grab their purse. And I have heard young black males say how that makes them feel. And that goes into older, even when they get older.
Mm-hmm.
And it does not make them feel good. You would be surprised if you walk by a corner. I don't care, even if they're slinging on the corner. Now, I'm not saying don't stay on the corner, because any corner where people congregated like that is a dangerous place, because that's things happen on that corner. But nothing stops you, because it's not for you to judge anyone. It's not our place to judge. And no reason why when you walk past some people, you can't say, hello, how you doing, good morning, good afternoon. You would be surprised. They turn around, they'll just say hello. But that makes them feel human. We have
right.
so dehumanized one another. And I've saw it reported, literally kids at Overbrook High School here in Philadelphia, when a young person was shot outside of the school, but community came together and they had the safe corridors where that's so many blocks outside from the school. Adults come out and people come out and stand guard. They either stand on their porches and just watch as the kids have to go to school during time when they go to school and come home so that they can have a safe passage to the school. And when they did that, that was one thing. But what touched young people more was when they got up to the school, there were adults there that said, hello, how you doing, good morning.
Wow.
They had an assembly that evening, and a lot of them young people was in tears because they really did not think no one in the community cared what was happening to them.
Well, so I want to ask Camry. Can I ask Camry a question?
Yes.
Can I ask Camry a question? Well, one of the things that I work a lot with high schoolers, and one of the things that when we started HBCU Kids, we started with actually a group of teen moms, and we asked them, you know, basically why, if we had a clean sheet of paper, what message could we create to catch the attention of other teenagers? You know, why did you decide to be a young mother so soon? What was it that we could now say in a T-shirt design to kind of prevent that from happening? And they basically said that somewhere along the line, someone told them that they were not college material, that they should basically settle for something else, and they just didn't know what the something else was. And so, you know, in some cases it wasn't necessarily an accidental pregnancy the way everybody looks at it. It was pretty much like a rite of passage because now, you know, I get my Section 8, I have, you know, my independence, I can move out from my mother's place, and I've got a circle of friends because they're all in the same situation right along with me. And I guess my question is that still true, because this was like over 6 years ago from what you observe as a teenager, and what is this message, or what should this message be to let teenagers know that there is so much more out there than what they see right within their own zip code, if you will?
Camry?
Is she there?
Camry? Camry, are you still there?
Let's see, Tamara, are you there?
I think we lost Camry.
Tamara,
yeah,
are you
there? We lost her.
Tamara?
Yes?
Okay, so from your perspective, because you were just a little one back then, what do you think the message should be to get kids' attention? Well, let me ask you, do you think that you're going to go to college, or do you want to go to college one day?
Yes, I do.
And why? Do you think it's because just your mom and dad talk about it, or is it something that you've seen or something that you feel that makes you want to go?
I want to learn.
Okay. So if somebody told you, you know, after high school you're finished, what would you say to them? If somebody said, once you finish high school, that's it, there's no more school, what would you say?
I say, well,
just go with what's in your heart. We're in separate rooms now. Just go with what's in your heart, Samira.
They still have college.
Okay, do you look forward to college?
Mm-hmm.
How come? What do you think it is?
It's for people that have good grades.
And what do they learn to do?
Things that she wants to do.
Okay. So that's kind of like our challenge, Jacqueline, just trying to find out how do we distill the message so that the basic child, and I'm not saying every child has to go to college, but only 2% of the blacks in this, only 2% of the people in this country are black with a college degree or above. So I'm not saying every child has to go to college by any means, but I'm saying more should.
But it's still continuing on. I think what's more important and necessarily whether it's college or
any kind of certification,
trade school,
just
or whatever,
having a plan.
I think that's the whole thing, is that you can do something, and
having a plan, and preparing
that's the whole
for
issue that. Yeah, and, or you know, you can't prepare for something that you can't foresee. That they actually believe in their mind's eye. It's like if you can see it, if you can see it, then you got a chance. Then you can get you to believe in it. And if you see it and believe it, then you can make it happen. So I think a lot of them can't envision it. Some of them because they never seen it. And then there are so many people being told every day what they can't do.
Don't.
And I see it. I've seen it. I see the talk, the negative talk, and it's not that these aren't loving people, but there are generations of negative talk.
Don't you see that?
You know, they speak negatively. Hmm?
You do it. You get it going.
Is that
so?
Do you want to share your good news with Miss Jackie about what you found out yesterday? Did you share it with Mom and Dad?
What?
About your SOLs? I told you she was shy. How did you do on your SOLs? SOLs are the No Child Left Behind tests that they have to take at school to measure their grade level preparedness. And disproportionately, if you look at the data, our African-American children, I know, but I want you to share it, are not doing as well as the majority students in the school. And I'm always on a mission to try to find out the why. You know, why is that? I refuse to believe that it's simply because our children are African-American that they're not doing as well as the other students. And so we set up a tutoring program last fall after school on Mondays and Thursdays at our church to try to proactively get ahead of it. And so what I'm happy to announce is Tamara got a perfect score on what? You want to share with Ms. Jackie?
Math and reading.
You can't hear
Wow, perfect score in reading. That is excellent.
And what else?
And
how's you doing?
You know, there was a state, there was a address by teachers and unions and all on TV because of the budget cuts. Soledad O'Brien had it. But one thing they were saying all across the country is that they don't even like the idea of solely standardized tests being the measure. And they were talking about how our students are behind, you know, as far as globally. Because what they're saying, our students are learning how to be good test takers, but not necessarily thinkers. And they're saying, and I'm just saying that could be one issue why certain groups may do better. But you know, that could be that they're a good test taker. Everybody's not necessarily the best test taker, but that a standardized test is that in itself. They didn't say get rid of it, but they said there should be other methods to actually measuring.
You know, because that's not
enough measure.
You know what I get to see in the classroom? The standardized test is only like taking your temperature. You know what I'm saying? When you go to the doctor, they pop a thermometer in your mouth. It doesn't diagnose what your problem is. It just lets you know if there is a problem. Most people, when they get their thermometer taken, don't have a problem, right? But if they happen to put that thing in and an alarm goes off, then it suddenly says, you know, we might need to do something else, take some blood work or whatever. All these tests do that I see, it highlights the fact that the teacher already knows. This child is not prepared. Most of the kids that don't pass this test weren't doing well from day uno. I mean, I'm not trying to blame a victim, but the kids who I see who refuse to bring a pencil to school, who refuse to pick up the textbook off the desk, who refuse to get it out their locker, who refuse to come to school, are the ones who did not pass the test. And what's sickening to me is watching the teachers now scramble around and have to get them to retest and pass. They have to pass this test in order for the school to get its funding. And so now the teachers are scrambling around trying to get this child to pass. But this child was not passing from day one. And what I hear from the kids is, I don't care. They say, I don't care. I don't want to be here.
Well, it's all kind of, it's not just that I don't care. It's like a lot of,
I don't care because I'm afraid to care. And that's what came to me the other day when I was talking to one, and I really probed him. And I said, why don't you care? And basically after we layered, you know, undid some of the layers, he's afraid of failure. And so it's easier to fail when you don't care.
About fear.
She felt that one of the driving forces for teens is fear.
And that's what she said. She said fear is a definite dream killer. And in her thing, what she was saying about one of the weaknesses is allowing fear to drive them. She said she would, for them not to fear. But fear seems to be a driving force amongst teens.
They won't say the way he explained to me is it's easier to fail when you don't care than to work hard and fail, because then you feel like, you know, you're a failure. So it's best to just say, I don't care, and don't care. And if you fail, you're not surprised.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to need to close the show out because we stopped streaming a little while ago.
Okay.
And I need to get back to the hospital.
Amen.
So, yeah. So what I want to do is thank you, Camry. I guess she had to go. And but we want to thank Camry more. If you want to reach Camry, you can find her book, The Sun in Her Eyes, is the name of her book, and it can be found at www.2youngtolove.com. That's www.2youngtolove.com. That's www.2youngtolove.com. Too Young to Love. And that is a blog for teens. So direct your teens there. It's a great site where they talk about relationships and just any kind of issues dealing with teens. That's TooYoungToLove.com. And as we stated, Let's Talk About Brains. You can find that by co-authors Tamira Gossier and Joan Gossier at weallstartsmall.com. And also, Too Young for the Sun in Her Eyes can be found on Amazon and all throughout. But the best place right now, I think Tamira was saying they were having a problem there. So, Camry. So what you just want to do with the book is to go to TooYoungToLove.com. Right now it's self-published, so let's help them make their money back by going to TooYoungToLove.com. And what we're going to do, we're going to close out on Whole Woman, these two dynamite young women. And Camry introduced herself as a Christian teenager. And so these are two dynamite women in the making. And we want to close out on the song Whole Woman by Rhapsody, again from her album Spoke Inward. I thank you, Camry. I thank you, Tamira, so much for, even though I know you're shy, for just opening up for us and teaching us. And thank you, Joan and the call at 104.43. We love you. Thank you for listening in. Arlie Gordon and all those in the chat room, everybody laying in the cut, listening from wherever you're listening at. Thank you for being with us. Have a great weekend. And we're going to roll out on Whole Woman. I want to be a whole woman.
I can't do this. This is too much. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? I need help. I need to do something right. I need answers. Who's going to be there? I've messed up so much. I feel like I've tried everything, but now what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Just breathe. I want to be a whole woman. A whole woman, a whole woman. Say, I want to be a whole woman, a whole woman, a whole woman. Say, I can't live a whole life with half a self, with half of me in tow, saving the potential of me for some rainy day as if there isn't more to be living for. How can God work with half a woman towards her full potential? How can he pour blessings into my cup that overfloweth if my insecurities and sins have created holes that can't store it? I wrestle with principalities against my own flesh and blood, looking towards the mark of the higher calling, but that takes a whole lot of faith. And to follow what he leads takes a whole lot of dedication. And to stand in the face of my fears, or to proclaim the life of Christ, or even to love my neighbor, takes a whole lot of preparation. So half of me won't do. Giving only half my day, or half my thoughts, or half of everything I got is not only useless but unwise when God sees me wholly with his own eyes. When God in his grace sees me wholly with his own eyes. So I want to be a whole woman, a whole woman, a whole woman, say I. Want to be a whole woman, a whole woman, a whole woman, say I. Gotta get it right. My purpose is on the line. And how can I have only half the mind to do what's right, or spend less than half of the time attempting to develop myself into disciplined study or focused way of life, when it takes to committing the whole mind, the whole body as a living sacrifice? See, we want full blessings from the Lord, but we only pray half the time. And sometimes we remember to love our neighbor, but we see God's love all the time. We go into situations and relationships with half of ourselves in tow, still hoping good things will come from them despite. And we forget that to love God with our whole heart takes a constant renewing of the mind, a constant reviewing of our lives. For many of the things we need to grow takes a committed and dedicated whole, not got from simple Bible reading or occasional fasting and praying, but our whole effort with our whole heart gives God the room to bring out the wholeness in us that he created within us long ago. So I chanted like I wanted, like it's part of my whole being, like it's significant, like it's attainable, as if my spirit desired it. I needed to present myself fully as committed to his word. I want to be a whole woman because half a woman can't quite gain wisdom in this world. So each day I pray the prayer of complete reliance on God and all his magnificence, for only he is able to bring out in me the wholeness that he created. I'm not whole on my own, but I belong to you. I'm not of myself, but of you and your divine purpose. I am not alone, but with you. I seek your guidance in my daily business. I'm not whole on my own, but pieced together by your hand, held together by your will. I am not led by neither wants, desires, or personal debates, but ever yielding to that which you lay before me. So today, as every day, I listen to your voice, walk in step with you, seek your wisdom, and lay no claim to my own life, so that I may be aligned with your way. For I seek to be a whole woman, a whole woman, a whole woman. God, I want to live what you made me, a whole woman, a whole woman, a whole woman. Amen.